Over the last years, the topic of colonialism became more popular in the area of culture and politics. Expanding these efforts beyond the European perspective wasn't very successful. A general understanding of the structures that still have influence of our societies is missing. How can we raise an open discussion that leads to a reflection on our own living environment? In an international blended learning seminar, students and professors from universities in Switzerland, France, Germany, the Netherlands, and Poland were able to discuss different aspects of colonialism. In a group of 5 people, we analyzed contents in schoolbooks from Switzerland, France, and Germany concerning colonization and imperialism. We contemplated if the pupils get a diverse and critical input, since this could be a starting point for a more controversial approach. In our review of the books, we focus on comparisons of content, different perspectives, and some formal aspects. My name is Joel Mayo, and I am talking to Svenja Grössl. She will answer my questions about the results of these analyses. So let's start with some formal aspects. Svenja, in which years were the books written?
The oldest book we reviewed is Horizonte 1 from 2003. It's a German school book for the secondary school 2. Zeitreise 3, which is from Switzerland, was written in 2012. The book is designed for lessons in the 9th grade. The other book from Switzerland, Durchblick, Geographie, Geschichte, Band 2, Sec 1, is from 2017 and used for the 8th and 9th grade. The second German book is from 2015 and called Geschichte und Geschehen. It is made for lessons in the secondary school too. The only French school book we analyzed is the most recent one. It's from 2019 and it's titled Histoire, Première, Enseignement, Morale et Civique, Le Livre Scolaire. It is used for the penultimate year of high school. Pupils are usually 16 years old.
Okay, so let's take a look into the books. Regarding the volume, how many pages have the chapters on colonialism and imperialism?
In Geschichte und Geschehen and Durchblick Geographie Geschichte, we've only 8 to 10 pages, respectively the last amount of pages, followed by Horizonte with about 15 pages. In Histoire Première et Enseignement Moral et Civique, Le Livre Scolaire, the input has 26 pages. The chapter in Zeitreise 3 has 38 pages, the most pages of all the books.
And how is the context of the chapters?
Well, you can find imperialism and colonialism embedded in a narrative of European history that starts with industrialization and leads to World War I. In Horizonte 1 and Durchblick Geographie Geschichte, the beginnings of colonialism are presented. This is connected with European achievements as an effect of the expansion. The other 3 books lay their focus on the colonialism in the late 19th century. In Geschichte und Geschehen and Zeitreise 3, they try to explain the influence on politics and economics of the European players in the World War I. Le Livre Scolaire Histoire embeds the chapter on colonialism in the context of the French Third Republic until 1914. The framework is constituted by the French defeat in the Franco-Prussian War in 1870 and the outbreak of World War I. What is noteworthy is that in each book, colonialism is embedded in other parts of European history, which gives the reader the feeling that colonialism is only European history.
During the analysis, was it possible to examine some main themes that are picked up in the books? And could you tell me about how they are presented?
The books usually start with the expansion of European countries, often as a result of developments in European countries, such as industrialization. In many cases, European expansion is presented as an achievement and advantage for European countries are mentioned, such as economic and scientific benefits. The starting point for the French textbook is the Franco-Prussian War in 1870. After the French defeat, colonialization was seen as a means to regain French pride. Interesting is that colonialism is mentioned next to other themes which were crucial for European development, such as the Enlightenment and industrialization, with a focus on the advantages for Europe, and the books take the focus away from the brutality and the suffering on that time.
It is interesting that your findings point out that the topic of colonialism or imperialism seems to be interlinked somehow with advantages and achievements from a European perspective. This kind of rings my bells when it comes to the presentation of imperialism. Is it so that colonialism overall in the school books is presented in a positive way in the end?
In none of the books we were able to see, colonialism is uncriticized. The brutality in which Europeans suppressed people all over the world is always mentioned, as well as the results for native people in the colonized countries to this day. The books always mention slavery and the resistance of colonized people. Especially the French school book, Le Livre Scolaire Histoire, has an ethical focus and doesn't shy away from mentioning the brutal system of colonization. Nevertheless, the suffering of the colonized people is in almost every book mentioned as only a subtopic, and many times is presented as a negative result next to other positive results of colonialism.
So, regarding the presentation of colonialism and imperialism in the sense of a violent history, I think it's very important to ask who is telling this story. Is there kind of a multi-perspective approach, or is it only the European side that is represented?
We all agreed that the perspective in every book is European. Even if colonized people are mentioned, documents or pictures presented are almost always European. Therefore, colonized people have no voice on their own in the history that is presented. Only Geschichte und Geschehen offers primary sources where people from the colonized people in Africa are quoted and mentioned by name. Even if the books talk about colonized people, it's always Europeans who talk about them and not with them. Le Livre Scolaire Histoire, for example, tries to display different perspectives, for example, on the code de l'indigénat. By quoting a supporter and an opponent of this code. Nevertheless, both of them are European. In contrast, representatives of European history are often mentioned and quoted many times. What we also found was a connection between a national and a European perspective. In Geschichte und Geschehen, for example, we have a primary source that quotes a parliament speech from Bernhard von Bülow. He demands the participation of Germany in the colonization. From his point of view, Germany has the right to do so because of the contemporary actions of colonization of other European countries.
Okay, so now we took a look at the content of the books, which is only one part of kind of the didactic triangle. What seems to be very interesting for me is what approaches did you find that make it easier for the pupils to get access to these issues, which seem to be quite complex in the end?
Well, we think at this point the teachers have a big responsibility. That is next to the critical reflection, the biggest challenge for them. Through many images, posters and drawings, the pupils are invited to create a critical vision of colonialism. However, the teacher's support to develop this critical reflection is indispensable. Le Livre Scolaire Histoire, for example, works with different illustrations that were used in France to show the supposedly harmonious life in French colonies. It is the teacher's job to make sure pupils are able to comprehend that these illustrations show a mystified vision that is far from reality. Nevertheless, we found approaches to bring in a connection to the pupils' life worlds. Let's take a look at the exercises at the end of the chapter on colonization in Geschichte und Geschehen. They ask for an evaluation of one of the primary sources against the background of today's constitution. The chapter of colonialism in Le Livre Scolaire Histoire finishes with an exercise on how to analyze propaganda posters like the one displayed in the chapter. For example, a poster for the colonial exhibition that took place in Marseille in 1906. In this way, the book really emphasizes the need of critical reflection.
So, in conclusion, we can say that there are approaches, especially in the most recent books, to inspire reflection on the content and widen our perspective. It seems like the French school book stands out with its continuous critical point of view and its demystification of colonialism by means of a confrontation between the supposedly harmonious life in the colonies, as advertised in France during this period, and the cruel reality of the situation. So, we could say, in your opinion, the other books should increase their critical approaches and should try to include more controversial sources. Regarding your analysis, are there further questions you think have to be raised?
Well, we think in the end we would like to share some questions that came up within the process of analysis. Do you think it is possible to convey the complex subject of colonialism to a young audience in a way that does justice to all the perspectives playing part in history, even if pupils don't have the comprehensive knowledge of the subject that, for example, university students, professors and teachers do? And do school books have to present the content neutral? Is it okay or maybe even better to specify a certain opinion on critical subjects in our history? And the last one, how broad can our analysis be since all of us are from Europe ourselves?
Thank you very much, Svenja, for taking your time to participate in the interview. I think these would be very interesting questions for a further analysis and discussion.